Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and special guest David Barton reveal more truths that show how important it is to make a stand of faith and give God's Word first place and final authority in your life.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for the Word today. We give you praise, we worship you, and we bless you. Thank you, sir, for bringing yourself into our midst and giving us life. We receive it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. David, God bless you, man.
Hey, Ken.
I got on yesterday's broadcast, it brought me back to the basic standard that everybody knows. I don't care whether you're a Bible student or not. You know, you just instinctively know that if I keep lowering the standards for the weakest guy in the room, the whole room is eventually going to be flat of its back. I mean, you can't do that and succeed in life.
Yeah.
Life just don't work like that. So we're back to that place where you do not alter God's Word to fit your lifestyle.
That's right.
You alter your lifestyle to fit
God's
the Word, and then you learn how that lifestyle works. And it will produce then what Jesus said, I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. You can't have abundant life and all the time yielding to whatever the weaknesses are. You're going to have to come above the weakness somehow.
No? Yeah, that's right.
Somebody got to come above this thing.
That's right.
So in the case of the government, in fact, when you go back to Woodrow Wilson, early 20th century, He brought up, he thought it was a good thing to debate Abraham Lincoln. Now, if Abraham Lincoln had lived 120 years like he's supposed to, he could have faced him face on.
And that's
that
right.
He never would have done that. He wouldn't have faced that old man straight up.
And he wouldn't have won a debate.
No,
no. Yeah.
But he said, Mr. Lincoln said that the Constitution is an abstract truth. Abstract meaning set aside, good for all men for all time. Mr. Wilson said, I believe that the Constitution is the truth, but it's a progressive truth, mm-hmm. and it needs to be changed as the times change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he's saying is that it needs to be altered to fit our sin.
That's
really,
right.
When you get right down to it, that's what it amounts to. And so you start amending the Constitution, and then you got judges that come in, and they mm-hmm. begin to amend this and amend that. Why? In order to make it easy to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's easy, it's going to always go to the lowest denominator. Mm-hmm. It's going to go down. It can't go up just being easy all the time.
Yeah.
Somewhere, somebody's got to face the growth. And in order to do it, you can't compromise it.
Yeah.
Here again, I was with my spiritual father, Oral Roberts, and he preached that world-famous sermon, The Fourth Man,
mm-hmm.
and talking about the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. We put in three, is there not, do I not see four?
Yeah.
And with the likeness of the Son of God in the midst. And he made this statement. Burned indelibly, just got in my guts, man. I couldn't swallow it. I couldn't spit it up. I chewed on it for years, and I still do. He said, if you bow, you burn.
That's right.
If you don't bow, you can't burn.
Yep.
And then he made this statement. Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose.
Yeah.
You get on the Word of God, for instance, like we did Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love him. stay out of debt. I began to study the structure of debt in the Bible, and it's all the way through the entire book.
That's right.
That debt will destroy you.
It will.
So you go to God. You don't go to the system. You go to God and the kingdom of God, and he'll show you how to receive from him out of his kingdom.
That's right.
And you're separated then from that thing. Well, I know how to live like that. It took years and years and years, believing God, standing on it. But every time I tried to make it easy and kind of skirt it and compromise it just a little, it wasn't a debt, but it was a lease, you know. Yeah, you liar. It's just another word for debt. And particularly the way I was going at it. Here God was doing everything he could do to get me over here on his system and teach me how to live here, but I couldn't do it without commitment.
Yeah.
And every time I'd come up against that hard spot, finally, one day, it came on me, David, so strong. Gloria and I were in between decisions here and about borrowing money to do certain thing, and it looked like a thing we should have done. And I couldn't. Oral's words were just roaring in my whole consciousness. I didn't know. At this time, all I knew is faith worked, and I knew the word was true, and I knew what it said, and I had committed to do it. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I couldn't violate it.
Yeah.
It finally got on me, so we had a little table about this size. I slapped that table. I went and looked at it later because I thought I broke it. But it took that kind of words. It's hard to put words around it. Just to the point where I'd rather die than to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to compromise it. I will not compromise this word. I don't care if we laid down and just die in a ditch. I'm not changing this.
Not going into debt. It says don't go into debt.
It broke
it. Don't go into debt. Yep.
It broke it. It broke it inside me.
Yeah.
I knew from then on, this is the way we're going to do it. Yeah. I didn't have any more than I did the hour before.
Well, temptation loses its appeal at that point.
Yeah,
once you have made that commitment, says, I'm not crossing that line, then temptation is not as real. It doesn't draw on you like it did. You have
to
make that decision.
I realized later what I'd done. I had resisted the devil and he fled from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from that point on, there wasn't any question about where we stood or what we was going to do.
But you know, what's so cool about that is you take that is a universal law of God. That is more certain and more fixed than the law of gravity. And why it is that sometimes we pick and choose where we think laws apply, you know what? The law of gravity applies to me whether I live here or whether I'm president of the United States. All the time. So why does staying out of debt matter to a Christian, but it doesn't matter to a church, or it doesn't matter to a state, or it doesn't matter to the federal government? It's a universal law. If you get in debt, you will lose your liberty, you will lose your freedom, you will lose control of your own life. Tell me why churches are going into debt like crazy to build new buildings. That's a clear scripture, because we're still thinking over here in the wrong kingdom.
Yeah.
Now, tell me why states are willing to go into debt, and you can't do that. You'll lose your prosperity, you will lose your liberty, you'll lose everything. And we do this at the federal government, it's all right, the government can borrow money and they'll just print more money. No, it's a law of God, it's a law of gravity. You jump off a skyscraper, whether it's 2 stories high or 100 stories high, you're going to still splat when you hit the bottom. That's what we got to get, is that same kind of commitment that this word applies universally across. It's not just for me individually. It's for my family. It's for my church. It's for my community. It is for my state. It's for my nation. It's just going to work every time it's tried. And that's what we have to get into, is this commitment.
It turned out to be, it looked like total impossibility, because at the time we committed to do this, I didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that anybody could live like that.
Yeah.
Unless you just lived without. And I was just praying and meditating and seeking God. I didn't know what the next step was, because we were in debt at the time he said that. But by doing what he said do, We were out of starting from scratch.
Yeah.
And in 1967 now, $24,000 in bad debt. That's what Gloria and I owed. What would that be in today's dollars?
Oh, it's way up there.
Oh, it's probably $300,000.
Yeah, quarter million.
Somewhere in that.
Yeah.
So, and with nothing.
Yeah.
And with not even a decent car, no decent clothes, and here I'm going out to preach. But then Jesus, I recognize, told his own staff, he said, you don't bring anything. You're working for me now.
Yeah.
And then later, 3 years later, he said, when I told you to leave everything at home, did you lack anything?
That's right.
They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. So with that, just armed with those little small bits of information, 11 months later, we were completely out of debt. And I didn't really understand how he did it.
Yeah.
But it was a supernatural thing for 11 months. And it was just just nibbling pieces here and there. And he had us out of debt.
It does.
And I began to see where the supernatural power of the Word was working out from us in our environments.
That's right.
Our environment in ways that I didn't know or understand.
That's right.
But God was doing what he said he would do.
Well, it's like tithing. I can't tithe. That's 10% less income. Hey, you'll have 20% less expenses. Your tires will last longer. You won't be going to the doctor all the time. You won't need all the cavities filled. You'll find your health increases. You got less to spend money on. Well, I have less money to spend. Well, you don't need to spend it on as much stuff. And we don't get that. We still think in the wrong kingdom over here is, no. You give that 10% to, and that's why you get guys like R.G. Letourneau who ended up giving 90% to God. The more he gave, the less he needed. The more he gave, the less he needed. And he just kept giving and giving and giving. And my gosh, he's one of the wealthiest
guys
in America eventually.
The key to Letourneau, when you bring that tithe, that's the connection to the blessing. God said that. It's the blessing of Abraham that maketh rich, and he adds no toilings and sorrow with it. When you bring what's God's, you return to him what belongs to him.
Yeah.
Then he returns to you in the form of blessing.
That's right.
Now, at that moment, the tithing is not done with money. Tithing is done with words.
Yeah.
The money is then that's the part, the portion. The tithing is described there in Genesis 20, Deuteronomy 26, with words.
Yeah.
Now, when you come to God with those words, and you're laying the tithe at his feet, inquiring of him of what he wants you to do with it. There's an exchange made here in the form of wisdom, knowledge, all of these things that are activated in you. You may not even realize it at the time, yet you may.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, there are ideas and insights and concepts into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the ways of God, the life of God. You know things you don't know how you know them.
Yeah.
But you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got good ideas. You handle your affairs with good judgment.
Yeah.
Instead of being stupid
and
about stuff
and
having to hire lawyers and don't go through all
that. That's exactly right. You know, going back to something you said on Woodrow Wilson, because he was saying, hey, Lincoln, you know, abstract truth, that's out. We've got this progressive truth. That is something that has infected Christianity in a way that is unbelievable. And I want to raise it an issue, and people are going to instantly pigeonhole it. And it's the creation evolution issue. I'm so tired of that science debate and what they do. No, creation evolution, if you believe that that's a scientific debate, you have just lost the worldview battle. Creation evolution is a big deal about who's in charge and what kind of standards you have. Because when you say it evolves, then you're saying, hey, God's no longer in charge. You know, those guys 2,000 years ago didn't have internet. God can't understand what we're doing today with it. So when you say it's evolving, you're saying God no longer has authority. We have to make decisions for ourselves. We have now erected ourselves as king of our kingdom. Now, what we do is we apply that stinking evolution philosophy to the Constitution, and we say, well, you know, it's an evolving document, it's a living document, that's why judges have to tell us what we believe. And so you get judges, well, like New York, oh, we don't need marriage anymore, we've evolved past that. You know, that worked for 5,500 years, but not anymore. In the modern times, we need homosexual marriage. And you apply it to...
Well, now, wait a minute, though, David. In 1920, they were talking about these are modern times.
They have every single generation.
Every generation has done that.
But see, here's what happens as a result, is we now apply evolution, not to science, we apply it to grammar. And we say, you know, we've been using parsing and grammar and all these parts of speech and diagram and sentences for hundreds of years. That is so boring. Let's do something else. So just because it's time to do something new, we went to a new way of doing grammar, and our grammar proficiency fell to only 23% of students. It used to be 100%. But see, we've evolved past that. The more we evolve, the lower we get. I mean, you talked at the beginning about how we lower the standard. So we said, hey, we don't need to learn the math tables. It is so boring to learn the multiplication,
after
division
all,
tables.
Calculator.
And we got new math. And so we go to new math. We now have a proficiency down in the single digits in the world. Our math knowledge is through the floor. We went into spelling and phonics, and we said, oh man, teaching phonics is so boring. We progressed past that. So we went to whole language, and suddenly we had only 1% of kids who were proficient at reading. See, we keep evolving into lower forms.
You keep dumbing down, don't you?
See, here's the thing. I was trained as a science guy. That was my major, et cetera. You have laws you can't break. One's the law of gravity, but you also have the law of thermodynamics. And the second law of thermodynamics says everything tends to a higher state of entropy. Now, what that means is you leave it alone, it tends to get worse, not better.
Yeah.
You know, we leave this fruit here for a couple weeks, let's come back and see if it's any better.
The curse is here.
It's here. And if I leave my house and don't take care of it for a month, or a year or 10 years, it's going to be worse than when I... It's not going to be higher. Why is it we think that when we leave things alone now, they're going to evolve up? Evolution contradicts the laws of thermodynamics. You leave creation alone, it's going to get better? No. It moves down. There's not a thing in our life that gets better when we leave it alone.
The
we have to pay attention.
God said, I place before you life and death, blessing, mm-hmm. cursing. You choose.
You choose.
If you don't make the choice... You've just made a choice.
You have made a choice. And
you're going to go down you're going to go downstream if you don't make the choice.
And see, you mentioned a minute ago about how back in Wilson's day they were saying, hey, this is modern times. Every generation says it's modern times. Here's the one that really gets me, is the Bible 24 times says, recall the former days, remember the former times. If you don't know your history, you get killed. I mean, when Israel forgot, they were in trouble. Josiah comes back to build the temple. They find that scroll. They read the scroll. They say, you mean we used to be like this? It led to a national revolt. History is, you know what we do now in school? If evolution is true, then the one thing that is absolutely worthless is history. Because we don't care what George Washington did, we're 200 years more advanced than he did. We don't care what Abraham Lincoln did, we're 150 years more advanced. Do you know that in the top 55 universities in America today, not a one of them requires any course in American history for graduation? And if you believe evolution, why would you teach history?
Well, that's true.
We're more advanced. So what we have done is we've severed ourselves from our past. We've ignored all previous wisdom experience. We're no longer going to learn from the wisdom of others. We're going to have to go burn our own hand on the stove rather than saying that, hey, when you do that, you get blistered. We've shut off everything that works, and Christians buy in. Do you know that right now half of Christians believe that evolution is the way God created the earth? If you believe that, you've now put man in charge of the system and you're in the wrong kingdom. God's in charge of this kingdom, and when he is, it goes by what he says and how he says it. And if you don't submit to that, you'll never get the results of his kingdom. And as long as we think, even on something like evolution creation, if man can progress and move forward, then you don't believe the Bible. Because man's the same. The depravity of man's the same. He needs a Savior. He has needed it. He will need
it. It's the same thing David is saying. Well, there are ways that God can and will bless you outside the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Ain't gonna happen.
No, because if that's true, then that wasn't a sacrifice, it was murder. The blessing came on this earth by his resurrection.
Yep.
He was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles
through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And if you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
And not any other way.
No.
There's no other, you know, the only
and
way.
And we're not just being hard-nosed about our religion. This is not a religion,
it's
man.
It's a law.
These are the laws of God.
And
that's
you're
just
not
all
change
there is to
it. You
can't change them.
If you and I want to leave from here and go to Dallas, we got to go east. There's no way we're going to get to Dallas going north. I mean, it's just not going to happen because the law of geography isn't
only
that way.
Only the government would build a highway in that form.
Yeah,
because to
exactly.
go north, to go
to
east.
To go east.
And then make a big loop out there.
I don't want to go. I don't like going east. Oh, it's too long. I don't care what I think. If that's what the
that's
law
the
is, that's
is.
The way it is. And you got to conform to that. If you don't conform to that, you'll never be a citizen of that kingdom, and you'll never get the benefits from citizenship that come in that kingdom. You got to conform to this way. And this way tells us that He creates everything. Therefore, we're not a progressive nation. We don't have a progressive constitution. We don't have progressive education. We don't progress in our faith. We grow in our faith, but it's by using the laws
yeah.
that are immutable.
Yeah, absolutely. And fighting the good fight
fighting
of faith.
Fighting the good faith and finishing the course, fighting it all the way to the end.
In this kingdom, put the Word of God first place,
yep.
final authority. Number two, earnestly pray. Thy will be done, your plan, your purpose,
yep.
your pursuits in my life as it is in heaven.
Yep.
I want I'm strong-willed. My strong will is to have no other will but God's in my life.
Yeah.
I'm a strong-willed man. Supposed to be strong in my soul,
yeah.
strong in my spirit. In the power of God, strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, not just in me, then obey the law of love. Love is the very law of this creation, and you cannot function here successfully without it because faith works by love, and faith is what causes these things to connect to you. And love is to faith what air is to tires. I mean, without it, the faith won't carry
work.
The load.
It's not
it just
do
doesn't
it.
Work.
That's right.
And then come out, separate from that other way of living.
Yeah.
And get over here and walk in it with a determination that I will do this without compromise.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're on your way to an adventure that is beyond anything man can ask or think. And we're out of time. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
We the believers must shape our future, but why look back? God said, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Now more than ever, it's crucial to know what saves a nation. God's Word produced America's success for centuries.
If we can understand American exceptionalism, understand why we are prosperous and free and stable, we can go back and protect those seeds that have caused us to be a different nation.
Join David Barton in Building on the American Heritage. You'll be engaged as he unveils the truth of America's past.
You just blew another paradigm because you said the very purpose of education is so you could study the Word of God to hold your leaders
That's right.
accountable.
His extensive breakdown will give you clarity on what God expects of government, the church, and the individual so you can enforce a better tomorrow.
Jesus said, hey, you're salt. You're the thing that preserves this. Well, guess what? If we pull ourselves out of the civil arena, we pull the preservative out. Mm. It's going to get rotten real quick.
It's your duty. You were raised for such a time as this. Order Building on the American Heritage series today for just $59.95, a savings of 25%. Join David Barton and discover the Founding Fathers' biblical intent. This clarity will empower you to act wherever you are. And when you act, the people will once again rejoice. Discover the truth and make a stand. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. Or call toll-free 800-600-7395. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
This new thing that is available, Building on the American Heritage series that Brother David put together, our vote, our right to vote,
is a God-given, blood-bought privilege in the kingdom of God. I mean, this is the closest thing you're going to get to the kingdom of God on this side at dealing with natural man. And you need to know why it's so precious, and you won't until you learn and get in here and find out how these things work. There's six DVDs here. America's Lost Heroes of African-American Patriots. Oh, David, I tell you, I get so excited over these men and women that are in those roles. And Preserving American Heritage, Foundations of Our Government, the Role of Government, Social Justice and Politics in the Pulpit, and how the ins and outs of the Word of God, and how all that came to pass, and why it did what it did. Changing State, Generation Revival, Reformation, Civil Stewards and Duties versus Right and the Truth of American Exceptionalism. Oh, you need to study these things and know who you are, and that there's more to being an American, and more to realizing how important. Your ballot, that little ballot, is your seed. You sow that seed, you pray, and you sow it for standing in for that candidate according to what God leads you to do, instead of all the rhetoric and all the talk going on out there. You obey God. I don't care if that candidate loses the election. You didn't. And when you sow that seed before God, you were obedient to God. He'll take care of you for the next 4 years, just like the one you voted for was in office. It'll work for you and your household when it don't even work for the rest of the government. Ah, you need to know these things. God bless you. So glad you were with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same: God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon. Come to these exciting meetings. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 8th through the 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, April 13th and 14th at the Hilton Anaheim in Anaheim, California. For more information, go to kcm.org.